Samuel, sorry to those that have got their own Bible, sorry, is 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 3. I had totally forgotten. I thought we are all using the church Bible. It's 1 Samuel chapter 3, and we are starting from verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 3, from verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord, where the ark of the Lord was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, Here am I. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." 11. And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of those who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering." 15. Samuel lay down until morning and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, "Samuel, my son." Samuel answered, "Here am I." "What was it he said to you?" Eli asked. "Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his sight." 19. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of Samuel's words fall on the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Bathsheba recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. May God bless the reading of his word.
1004. Mark chapter 2, page 1004. We're starting at verse 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of the grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing that? What is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the day of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions." Then he said to them, "The Sabbath is made for the man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Another time Jesus went into the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and, deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
We call weaning. I think weaning in those days was a little bit different. It was when a child would be ready to be on their own. So we're probably thinking of a little boy here rather than a baby. So it was completed much later than we would do today. Now, one thing we need to note here as well is that Samuel was a Levite. If you look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, you will see the genealogy of Samuel, where it tells you who his father was and who his grandfather was. But it doesn't give you a clue. What you have to look at is 1 Chronicles chapter 6. The first part of Chronicles does a genealogy of all the tribes. And from there, you will find the genealogy of the Levite tribe. And you will see Samuel under there, his father, Elkanah, and then back further as well. Now, what does that mean in terms of being a Levite? In those days, of course, the sons of Aaron, the generation from Aaron, the descendants of Aaron, were the high priests. So therefore, Eli would have been a descendant of Aaron because he was a high priest, and so were his sons. Samuel, on the other hand, was a son of a Levite, and he's descended from the Levites, so he would be one who assisted the priests, and that's what the Levites' jobs were. In today's world, in Jewish world, it is a little bit like that still. There are some jobs that what they call the descendants of Aaron do, and there are some jobs that the descendants of the Levites do. So it was probably not particularly very different that Samuel should have been in the temple helping the priests. That was probably expected of him anyway. So firstly, this is a time when there were not many visions of God. It could be as a time described when God was not speaking to his people. No one had words and no one had dreams. Much, I suppose, as there would be in our lives, there are times when we think God is not speaking to us. And yet out of the blue, suddenly God speaks to challenge us. But this particular night was different, because God does speak to Samuel. And you'll notice he had to do this four times. And even though he was serving in the temple, the passage tells us that he didn't know the Lord yet. So a very important point here is, you don't actually have to know the Lord for the Lord to be able to talk to you. And I suspect, like Samuel, there could be many people who are serving who outwardly would look like they know God, but inwardly, they don't have any idea who he is or how their lives are being changed by his presence. In the same way, we can often be too tied up doing those things that we think are right to be able to listen to God. And like Samuel, we may go to the appropriate people that we think will have knowledge of that, but they don't have any idea how to guide us. It's only then that we realise that Eli realises that God is calling Samuel. And at that point, he tells Samuel what to do. We ought to give Eli some credit here. It's probable he did recognize that Samuel was going to be used by God. But he could have been very jealous about that. It could have made Samuel more important than he was. Even though he was quite old, he recognized that God was calling Samuel, and he went on to help him. So the question for us is, do we recognize when God is calling people? And do we help them to listen to God? And then God comes and stands there. It's important when we think about this to just go through that sequence of what happened. For the first time, he calls Samuel and he goes, "Here I am," doesn't think anything of it, and goes and talks to Eli. And he does the same the second time. And when the third time comes, Eli realizes what the problem is. He then tells Samuel what to do. The difference in the fourth call is that the Bible says God came and stood there. So from the first three calling, the fourth time, he came and stood there. And this time Samuel says the words that God wanted to hear, "Speak, for your servant is listening." We don't know really how Samuel felt about meeting God at that point in time, but we do know that it changed his life forever. And then we come to what God has to say to Samuel. You would think that on a first meeting you would get some words of comfort, some words of praise. Yes, that's what you would think. But this is not what Samuel gets. It's a very difficult message, and it's really a message for Eli. I think the two had become very close. Notice the words that Eli uses, "son." They had become very close. And they'd been working by this time together probably for several years. So Eli was probably very much a father figure to Samuel. And he now had to deliver a message that was not easy. Don't expect God to always give you messages that will encourage you. Sometimes these messages might be difficult. But what do we do? Samuel had a hard choice here. I think there's several things he could have done. I'd be inclined to perhaps be silent or just not say what the message was. Or perhaps to give a different message entirely. Perhaps just he could make the message not sound as bad as it was. He did neither of these. He was afraid. but he gave the words that God intended. So do we have difficult messages sometimes? I don't want to go into what we could have as difficult messages, but sometimes what we need to say is to be truthful. Not try and elaborate or change them to suit the time and place. And it could be difficult, just as Samuel found out. If you read those first two chapters of Samuel, you'll know how difficult those two sons of Eli were. It's not so much about the sin that they did. The previous chapter actually calls the sons of Eli scoundrels. That's the word it was used. But actually, their sin was secondary to what the real problem was. Eli's son had blasphemed the Lord. So what they had done, and I'm going to sum this up in just a few words. You can read what the Bible says in the first two chapters. They took the best of the burnt offering before it was offered on the altar for themselves. And that was an act of greed, to get the best for themselves. And that is what made the Lord angry, because this was worship for God and it was being abused. And Eli had not disciplined them. If you look, you'll see that he does tell them that what they're doing is wrong. But what he doesn't do is do anything to stop that. Now, in the previous chapter, Eli had already been told the consequences. And now what he's doing is reiterating this through Samuel. It would not have been lost on Eli that Samuel was going to be the one who would speak the Lord's word. And the end of this reading, we've got that words that say, none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Samuel was to become much greater. So what do we learn from this passage? Firstly, you don't have to know God for him to speak to you. Being famous, being wise, or in any position of authority doesn't mean that you will get to be able to be spoken to by God. God often speaks to those who know him, but those who don't know him as well. And you'll know of many conversions that have come from God speaking to people from where they are, and they have found faith. The biggest one to look at in the Bible is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul on that road did not know Jesus, but by the time he finished, he did. Many of our Bible characters who had good relationships with God had their own failures, but God saw in them something that was different. There are times God speaks and times he remains silent, but we need to listen to him. Secondly, those who worship God must do so honestly and with purity. We will all sin, and the Bible says that we deceive ourselves if we say we don't. But we need to take worship seriously. We should not do it for our own gain or do it in the way that the sons of Eli did, for their greed and their own purposes. Thirdly, we need to be able to say when there is wrong amongst us. Fathers are important, and their job is to discipline their young. God will discipline us, but he expects us to be the same example to our children. And when we discipline, do we get to the heart of the matter? What actually is the injustice, rather than the things going on around it? Samuel was chosen by God from a promise by his mother to give him back to God's service. Hannah kept her promise and gave her son to God's service. And though a man of God, he eventually became the voice of God for the people of Israel. Can we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening," in the same way? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the characters in this story that we have read. We thank you that Hannah had that desire to make sure that her son, who she'd asked for and who'd promised back to you, did that, and that you used Samuel in a great way. We ask, Lord, that when you are calling, we will be in that position to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Amen.